On this episode of Mothman the Bible Belt, Adam Cox, Fox Hunt, and Vesta Gesselman of Independence State spill the tea on their debut record, The Wild and the Wonderful. The Independence State players dish on their involvement in environmental causes and the anti-fracking track, Save This, West Virginia. The band discuss poet and activist Don West's influence and poetry being incorporated into their music collection. Plus, they sound off on modern country music, the lack of ballads on the airwaves, and whether or not Fox inspired Sierra Farrell's Fox Hunt. Coming up next.
Welcome to the Mothman in the Bible Belt podcast with your host, Buck Fantastic.
Girl Scout cookies.
Independence State formed in 2014 after the release of Adam Cox's solo record, Free and Independent State. The West Virginia-based band released their first record, The Wild and the Wonderful, in April of this year. Bandmate Fox Hunt produced the record. In 2020, Independence State's Mountain Boy was featured in the two-part PBS documentary, What Will You Do for Your Hills? The Legacy of Don West. The song is included in The Wild and the Wonderful. Join me, your host, Buck Fantastic, for another exciting episode of Mothman of the Bible Belt. It's eclectic chit-chat of otherworldly origins. Welcome to the Mothman of the Bible Belt, Beth, Fox, and Adam. How are you all doing on this hot, humid evening?
Fantastic. How are you?
I'm alive. Adam, how and when did Independence State form?
It was probably shortly after the 2013 album was released. So I'd say, I'm not exactly sure when we started calling ourselves Independent State. Must have been 2014-ish.
The first time you asked me to play with you at the Cellar at Third Eye Cabaret was the very first time that you and I were on stage together, and they asked us what we were going to call it, and we blurted out Independent State. That was spring of 2014.
14, okay, yeah.
Yeah, because you finished the album up in 2013, and yeah.
Fox, who's in the current lineup of Independent State?
Okay, well, we've got Adam here, you know, principal songwriter that the band was formed around. And you've got two couples in this band. You've got Beth and I, and you've got Tom Kirk and Diana Burton.
And then you also have Brian Flowers.
Yeah, and Brian Flowers. So that's six of us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Beth, is everyone in the band from West Virginia?
No, not originally. I think Di was born elsewhere and moved here as an infant. And everybody else was born in West Virginia except for myself. I'm a transplant from Pennsylvania. I've been in West Virginia. I went to WVU, and then I left for a few years, and then I've been back for a long time.
Adam, is writing music a collaborative effort, or does one or two people do it?
I've done a lot of different types of collaboration, lyrically and instrumentally, too. Done a lot of collaboration in the past with Stan Bumgardner, obviously with, you know, Beth, Fox, and the rest of them, too. With the band, but you know, hopefully that can grow as well. Being able to collaborate more as we move forward too.
Did you write the bulk of the material on The Wild and Wonderful?
Yes, most of these tunes go back several years. So it was really nice to be able to finally, you know, get them down on a concrete level and have this these songs to share too. Really.
You're a multi-genre folksy roots band in a state where rock music dominates the club scene. Is it difficult to find venues to play in?
I think a lot of groups probably struggle with that in West Virginia in general, having a whole lot of opportunity. I think there's some really fabulous places and opportunities, but I think it's a little bit of slim pickings too.
We've really focused on rather than clubs. We've done a lot more of fairs and festivals and concert series and those kinds of outdoor, family-friendly kind of events. That's been what the bulk of our shows have been.
Fox, how did you all develop the band sound?
Around Adam's songs, really. It's all about the song, you know, dressing it up. And we went through a number of, like, lineup changes, but not just that. The sound kept, you know, developing. I think after recording the thing, you know, probably like three times, you know, from the ground up, really, for it to be come out right. And we knew it was going to be worth the wait because something special was happening. And it's kind of a, I don't know, it's a marriage of the old and the new. You know, like you said, a cross between roots and rocks somewhere. We've all been studio players and have played in music our entire lives, like every one of us.
The band sounds like Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash meets Pure Prairie League meets Nickel Creek. Do y'all hear it?
Yeah, we've also been compared to Trampled by Turtles and who was the other one? I was the Nitty Gritty.
And yeah, Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. Yeah. I think they're referring to Adam's vocal in a way, but it's a bit of the writing too. But, you know, if I had to make some sort of comparison. Yeah,
and probably, you know, the instrumentation too that we have, which I think makes us, you know, somewhat unique, I guess.
In the end, we've got three electric guitars, but that's not really how it starts out. There's, you know, mandolin, dobro, and clawhammer banjo and acoustic guitar and flute and, you know.
Yeah, throughout a set, usually it starts more acoustic and builds up to being, you know, kind of more full throttle by the end of the set. It's kind of one of the things that we kind of design our sets to do that.
Beth, you all covered Bob Marley and the Wailers, Small Axe, and Hank Williams, colleague, how do you pronounce that?
Kalijah.
Any new covers in the work?
The newest cover that we added was for a show we just did about a month ago up in Marlington. It's a Zach Bryan song, so it's a pretty recent song. And the event was a pre-release party. Zach Bryan released an album this summer, and it was a block party. He picked 23 bars across America because the album was called Great American Bar Scene. So his team picked 23 bars that they thought captured the scene that he was singing about on the album. And this bar, Old Mountain Tavern in Marlington, got picked, and they had this huge block party there. And we were picked to be a part of that, which was really cool. And so we learned, that's the newest cover that we learned. It's called Holy Rollers. And actually it's a duet with Zach Bryan and Sierra Farrell from West Virginia. So that was the song that we picked to do for that event.
And that leads to my next question. Fox, did Sierra Farrell write Fox Hunt about you?
You might have to ask her, but we used to, you know, I knew her a long time ago. So, you know, you might have to ask her about that.
I met her during Occupy Wall Street.
It's a 2011. We like her. She's a really great songwriter.
Adam, with your debut record, you all shift from 80s rock with Good Morning, Good Night to 70s country with Straight as a Crow to a John Denver-esque The Wild and Wonderful to the Jimmy Buffett-sounding Sailing. Was recording a plethora of music genres part of the plan when you all were contemplating The Wild and Wonderful record?
I don't think it was a conscious thing as much as just... how many different styles that, you know, I was influenced by, and I think what we all were influenced by, you know, as being just musicians. I've always had the appreciation for various styles of music. And so I think somehow that comes through.
I would say some songs just sort of go together, you know, and when it came to the order, we started thinking different about it. Like, how can these, you know, you can sit there and just do what you usually do, which is trial and error, but we tried a bit of astrological correspondence to it. And it's like, if this song had to be Aries, which one would we pick? So that's how we did it.
Yeah, we decided that it was gonna, we were deciding which songs were gonna make the cut, and we decided we wanted there to be 12 tracks on the album, and that each track could be chosen for its order by the order of the zodiac, and try to
correspond. Like say for example, Friends is track 2, which would be Taurus, because there are indeed 12 songs on the album.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Friends, that's, you know, this is the second house correspondence, and you go down. So Salen would be Cancer, and it's kind of, you know, it's watery.
Good Morning, Good Night has some serious Jefferson Starship, Craig Chiquiso vibes to it musically, specifically Winds of Change. Were y'all listening to that when y'all were in the recording process? I'm serious. Yeah. It sounds, the guitar playing on it, it sounds just like his on Winds of Change.
Wow.
Whoa. See, I just recently got into more of the Scorpions' earlier stuff. You know, I had no idea. It was kind of like when you discover Peter Green's era of Fleetwood Mac. You know, first I go in and like, there's this whole other history going on. But the early Scorpion stuff, it's funny you mentioned that. But no, not at all. On the guitar, I was trying to go across between, you'll hear it if I say this, the guitar line is literally a cross between the bass line of Oblah D and then Jamaica by Led Zeppelin.
I want to talk about some of the tracks on The Wild and Wonderful. Friends, I love the harmonies and chorus. I'm older now than I ever thought I'd be, seeing things I never thought I'd see, and I make my plans one day at a time as I lean on my friends and the fruit from the vine. What inspired that?
There was a day that Stan Bumgardner had came over to the house, and we just sat on the couch and cranked that song out there. And I had some lyrics that I had used for the other half of that song, but that was actually those were his lines that he had put to it, which I, you know, it worked for what the other half that I had written. So we put them together. We made the sandwich there on Friends.
So is there a real Jonas, and is he really slowing everybody down?
He did. It was a snowstorm in 2016 named Jonas, and that's how it was based upon how, you know, he slowed everybody down with like almost 2 feet of snow.
The school was out for a whole week, even here in Charleston.
But, I thought y'all were writing about an old man.
Close.
Well, there was somebody else that I can't even remember who it was, but we went through a time where we had a lot of different bass players, and somebody that was sitting in with us said, "Oh, I thought that song was about a drug dealer coming back to town."
We call him Honus. Honus the energy, man.
Sing your songs, live your life, because even you know how.
Yes. That was
Fired Mountain Boy.
That was written, that was a poem written by Don West, Appalachian poet, started the Appalachian South Folk Life Center in Pipestem back in the late 60s, I think. And his poetry had a pretty big impact on me. It was actually, there was another song, the opening tune from the album was also a poem written by Don West, Licklog Hill. But yeah, Don West definitely inspired both of those songs, basically his poetry.
I was going to ask you about Licklog Hill and why is it so risky, but I guess.
Yeah, I think Licklog Hills possibly were places where people kept salt for their livestock as they were like kept on certain mountain ridges and stuff. But basically the song is about moonshining. So I think as he was traveling, you know, as that person was maybe traveling across, you know, the Licklog Hill, that's basically why it was dangerous, probably dangerous for a couple different reasons, but primarily in the song because of how he basically faced his doom through moonshine and was killed through moonshine.
What inspired your anti-fracking song, Save This West Virginia?
I think there's a Don Blankenship story in there somewhere, but I think, yeah, it just kind of pays homage to how we should, you know, maybe we should start looking for some alternative energies, you know, maybe tone it down a bit with blowing things up, stuff like that. And, you know, just maybe see if we can find some alternative ways to move forward. You know, I know there's got to be transitional periods and stuff like that, but it's kind of based upon that sort of part of West Virginia and how we've been sort of used.
Do you live close to a Marcellus shale well by chance, or?
There's a lot of close things, I think, these days, all around stuff, a lot of, you know, pipelines and stuff.
But it hits home with all of us one way or another, whether it's around, I mean, we could be better stewards of the land, that's for sure. And just the stuff we've all seen. I mean, I've been to like 80 some coal mines, different job I used to do, you know, and you would go up and sometimes just, you know, see where it's literally this used to be a mountain, and it's just flat.
Which brings it back to the question before last about the song Mountain Boy, because, you know, in that song it says, what we do for your hills, Mountain Boy. And I just wanted to also mention that that song was used in the credits of a movie by that name that was a documentary about Don West, because he was a poet and an activist. So there's kind of that thread going through the songs. When Adam first asked me to play and he gave me a demo of his solo album, it was 14 tracks, and he was particularly wanting me to play on Black Lung. And I was busy with some other projects at the time, and I listened to it, and I'm like, yeah, I can really hear flute on this song, and yeah, I'll go in the studio and I'll do this. And he was like, you can play in any of the songs you want. And so I was listening to it, and I was thinking like, yeah, right, I don't know. And I was like, no, I like this one. This is kind of catchy too. And, you know, this was back in 2013 when he was putting his solo album out. But yeah, I remember just, you know, being in the kitchen and cutting up some veggies for dinner and thinking, wow, he's really got a lot of themes of, you know, loving Mother Nature and like really asking a lot of questions about what are we doing, you know? And that song, Mountain Boy, really straight from Don West's mouth says, you know, what we do for your hills, Mountain Boy.
Why do you think more West Virginians don't make the environment a voting issue?
I just think a lot of people are disenfranchised from the whole process and it feels kind of hopeless.
It's sort of a generational thing. I mean, we're sort of a politically non-binary, but some stuff like, you know, big red truck environmental stuff, that's all we can do is ask questions and not, you know.
Well, I mean,
even if we know the answers, I think it's important to still ask questions.
This isn't answering your voting question. I want to give Adam a chance to answer that too. But one thing that we've done as a band and that I've been involved in and other members of the band I've roped into it is that I was a core member. I'm missing a Zoom meeting right now for the Save Coonskin Park group, which is a group that's fighting to stop the airport extension into Coonskin Park, which is a huge asset of green space for the Charleston community and would basically be a mountaintop removal site just outside of Charleston, West Virginia, if the project went through, you know? And to me, like, I feel like my efforts did more when I was involved, you know, we're still an active group and doing stuff, but like putting my efforts into that and the band played for the big rally we did back in October. I feel like that is more effective than other things I can do.
I think, yeah, it's always been a struggle here with trying to raise attention about that, just because, you know, certain people have a lot of control and it's just difficult to, I think, break through. But yeah, obviously, you know, have a beautiful state, so, you know, we should be doing everything we can to you know, preserve it as much as possible.
I agree. I was involved in the environmental movement for years. I didn't like this behind the scenes shenanigans that was going on, so I just said, see ya. You have a lot of these so-called environmentalists, they turn around and they form political organizations endorsing candidates that dump on the environment, and it just irks the shit right out of me. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Sometimes all you can do is let them know that you know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I do. I do on my Facebook page, and it irks them even worse. And I love it. I really do.
We saw you were posting about the water crisis, you know, and that's another thing that, you know, we were involved in some of that kind of stuff too. The Save Coonskin Park group had a booth at the 10-year anniversary of that event this January. And, you know, that's something that is near and dear to, you know, it affected so many people. And
I haven't gotten over it.
No,
same. And I've kept studying water, and it's back down to your own. What can you do personally? And that trickles down because people will see how you do.
So, Beth, why don't y'all play more gigs than y'all do? Y'all are a sporadic band.
I think a couple reasons. Yeah. Just trying to, like Beth said earlier, just pick, get certain gigs that we really enjoy playing and not play at certain venues. And it's limiting where, you know, how far we can travel and that sort of thing. But Beth, you go.
Yeah, I mean, six people's schedules. I mean, it's not easy to keep it all going. And it's like, you know, we didn't play at all this past winter, but we were in, like, we were still meeting with Adam every week. And sometimes BF was getting it on it too, to get the album out and get it released and all that goes into that behind the scenes, you know, and everything that we've done. You know, Independent State is, you know, a name that has a couple different meanings. And, you know, we've done most of the work ourselves. You know, Adam drew the cover and then Fox digitized it. And there was a lot of collaboration on all steps of the album and all the flyers and everything we've done, you know.
Ourselves, it kind of lives up to its name like that.
And the you know, Fox recorded and produced and mixed and mastered the album, so it's very in-house. Before the lockdowns, we were playing a lot more. We were trying at least every summer to do like a little tour, like we, you know, went out like 4 days in a row and stuff like that. And we were playing more outside of the region. We'd played some in Ohio and Maryland and Virginia, but we haven't done really any of that in the last few years because then it became about getting the album done. Now we've had a little run of shows this summer and it's kind of like time to reconvene and see what's next, but we're definitely open to playing more.
Is there any chance of you all winding up on Mountain Stage anytime soon?
Well, we're open to that. haven't officially
asked.
Yeah, we just looked that up the other day. You have to.
Well, your homeboy Ryan, he's in the band. He's in the house band.
Yeah.
He's talking about Ryan Kennedy.
Oh, I thought you said Brian. I was like.
Yeah, we kind of know all those guys and you know, various. Ways.
Yeah.
Even.
You definitely have to get your album out, and that's a huge stepping stone to that.
So what do you all think about modern country music? Is it too pop? Has it gone too far? Is it country music anymore?
Well, yeah, it depends on, some of the, depends on the country, I think. Yeah, I mean, I think there is still some pretty decent country out there as far as country music. But some of it, I don't know. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what's going on with some of the real modern stuff, that I'm not a huge fan of, but I think there's still a lot of good country music being made out there.
Who do we blame for this? Dolly, Olivia Newton-John, Shania, Taylor Swift, Keith Urban.
Yeah.
I mean, mainstream music, super mainstream music of any style can get really, it's just so, it's so integrated that it, like, I don't know, it's kind of like fast food, you know, it's like, it's predictable and not particularly like, doesn't really stick with me or feel nourishing, you know, the real mainstream stuff. But I personally really enjoyed Tyler Childers a lot, and I went to the Whiz Bangers ball and I enjoyed all the acts that I saw there. And I mean, they're much, you know, more up and coming acts, but I've just been gravitating more towards smaller indie bands.
Fox, what happened to ballads? They used to be popular in the 60s and 70s, and their popularity waned after Ann Wilson sang about looking for a random stranger to impregnate her in 1990 in Hearts All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You.
That's a hell of a question.
But I had to ask. I had to ask.
You had to ask. Wow. Ballads to... What did she say? Ann Wilson said that? Are you serious?
No, Ann Wilson. The last big ballad I heard on radio was All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That was like 1990.
Wow. Wow.
I won't even touch that song anymore. I don't get it. It was their biggest international hit. But you don't hear a lot of ballads anymore.
No, you don't. I suppose you don't. Because you know what it is. I don't know. Maybe none of us. Maybe we need some. You know. Maybe we need more. Because
more ballads. Yeah.
Because I try to make fun of everything I do, and if I can't, then I know I'm one to something. Maybe it's like that, you know? Maybe we all take each other so seriously and not seriously enough at the same time. Because, you know, look at, like, oh, what's the song called? Total Eclipse of the Heart, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a great song, but it's also, at the same time, if you're in the wrong mood when you hear it, it's like, this is so cheesy and cornball. I can't handle it, you know?
I can always handle the dance version. Beth, a little birdie by the name of Jamie Skeen told me that you're a music teacher. How important is music in the lives of the children that you teach?
Well, I think that varies a lot, but, you know, I see every kid in the building. It's a preschool through fifth grade. I try to split my energy the best I can between getting what I think all of them need a little bit of, like exposure to hearing some different things and some experiences to at least have an appreciation and idea about it, but then split my time between that and then the ones that really music's their thing, because there's definitely some kids that are really into it. And I've only been at the school for 3 years, but we were able to have a fifth grade course the first couple years, which schools are supposed to have, but it's really tough to schedule. But we were able to add a fourth grade course this year, and it was good. Kids were pumped up about it, and you know, we went out in the community and sang the national anthem at the ballpark for a field trip, and they helped me write original lyrics for an alma mater for the school that we sang at graduation. So, you know, I hope that it'll be something that they carry with them, the experiences that they've had in my classroom and the kids that I've gotten to work with.
Music is therapeutic to those listening to it, to those playing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's, you know, that's, I don't approach teaching general music as if every kid is going to be a musician or even participate in band and choir in middle school. You know, I try to come to it with a bigger picture outlook.
Adam, everyone is talking about drag queens supposedly reenacting the Last Supper during the opening ceremony of the Olympics. The others claim it was a Feast of the Gods recreation. What's a more pressing issue, that Olympics opening ceremony crap or the little babies being slaughtered in Gaza right now? There's over 15,000 of them dead right now.
Yeah. I wasn't too concerned about any sort of piece of theater or art or some production causing someone to have some sort of reaction to it at this point. I mean, just that's not, yeah, can't really compare. Yeah.
A reaction distraction.
Mm-hmm. Now we're down to five questions. Who wants to do it?
Okay.
You want to do it, Adam?
I can try one.
Okay. Taylor Swift pop or Taylor Swift country?
How about a hybrid version? No, I'll go with country.
Okay. Hank Williams Sr. Hank Williams Jr. or Hank the Third?
Ooh, my initial reaction is Senior. Although Third, I do appreciate his rebelliousness.
Joni Mitchell or Janice from the Muppets?
Oh.
I'm going to have to go with Joni on this one, just barely, it's a close call.
Ozempic or bulimia?
I might have to, no comment.
Wheeler Walker Jr. or Orville Peck?
Anybody?
I've had a lot of rock acts on Mothman the Bible Belt lately, most of whom say West Virginia is a rock and roll state due to the Mountain State bars and clubs predominantly catering to that music genre. It's great hearing from bands like Independent State that play other genres of music that are traditionally associated with West Virginia, like roots and country. West Virginia is truly a musically diverse state, where much more than the country western acts getting played on the radio. And I'm not saying that to slam Brad Paisley, Kathy Mattea, Red Sovine, or Lionel Cartwright. I want to thank my special guests, Adam Cox, Fox Hunt, and Beth Segesseman, for discussing their musical journey and dishing on their debut record. Check out Independent State's website at www.theindependentstatemusic.com for upcoming tour dates. The Wild and the Wonderful is available to purchase on iTunes for $9.99, and you can stream the record on Spotify. For Mothman of the Bible Belt podcast outlet updates, guest bios, episode breakdowns, and links to social media, check us out on the web at www.mothmanandthebiblebelt.com. Thanks for listening.